Most human beings have never set foot on an airplane, and most Americans fly once a year or less. That leaves a small number of us doing most of the flying and causing most of its impact on the climate. If you're one of the people fortunate enough to be a frequent flyer, KUOW's John Ryan is here with some travel tips for you. These tips can help you do a bit less harm to the climate when you fly. John, hello.
Hi, Kim.
So when it comes to pollution, how big of a deal is air travel?
Well, if we're talking about the pollution that causes climate change, right now air travel is a fairly small part of the global picture, but it's growing really fast. It's maybe 5 to 10% right now, but it's on track to triple in the next 30 years. It's one of the fastest growing threats to the global climate, and that growth is mostly fueled by consumer demand. Just people want to fly more and more and more.
We hear a lot from Boeing and others about the improvements that they're making to airplanes to make them more friendly to the environment. What are they doing to make air travel greener?
Yeah, airlines, airplane manufacturers, airports are all trying various strategies to reduce fuel use, because the less fuel you use, the less CO2 you put out, the less damage you do to the climate. And there's various things from more efficient engines to different ways to have your planes descend into an airport using their engines a bit less to burn less fuel. And those things are real and they're happening, but they're not at all keeping up with the pace of demand. We're seeing demand grow about three times faster than these efficiency improvements are happening. Mm-hmm. So we're really just moving backwards. We're losing ground, and the industry is getting dirtier and dirtier despite these efforts.
Now, you've come up with some tips for how to pollute less when you fly. So what's a way people can make a big difference if they're thinking about their personal carbon footprint?
One of the biggest ones is pretty simple, avoiding first class. First class is luxury, and that's great, but it also has a very high carbon footprint because of all the extra space that a first class seat takes up on a plane. That means much more of that plane's fuel is shuttling those first class passengers around. Have you heard of how our EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt has gotten in some trouble for his habit of taking expensive first-class flights?
Yeah, a little bit.
The Washington Post reported that he spent $90,000 of taxpayer money in just 1 month on fancy tickets. And one of those trips I looked into myself, it was a trip to Italy, and he flew on Emirates. He flew business class. And in business class in Emirates is so luxurious, there's even a bar that you can walk back to and stand at and have drinks and talk to the bartender. Scott Pruitt's seats on Emirates were about three times the carbon footprint of the economy seats. He, on just this one trip to Italy, emitted more carbon dioxide than an average citizen of Italy emits in a whole year.
A whole year.
And he, last week, he missed his deadline for turning in his documentation of these trips. So he's still in some hot water for that.
So does it matter which airline we choose?
It does. We reported back in December on a study that compared different airlines for how much fuel they burn for each passenger they fly a given, you know, fly a mile through the air. And they found that the dirtiest airlines included Delta, JetBlue, and Virgin, and they used 20% more fuel for each passenger mile than the cleanest airline, which was found to be Alaska Airlines, based here in Seattle. So your choice can, you know, make a pretty big, you know, 20%, 25%. That's a pretty big difference in fuel economy and in impact just by choosing one airline over another.
Okay, so just to recap, we can avoid first class and be aware that there's a difference between airlines when we're choosing our flights. Is there anything else we can consider if we want to make a difference?
So one of the best ways to reduce the impact is just to fly less, to fly fewer miles. And there are different ways you can do that. One is to basically fly nonstop. You can picture on a map of America, if you flew nonstop from, say, Seattle to Boston, that's going to be a lot fewer miles than if you take what an airline might offer, say, oh, you have to fly Seattle to Atlanta, maybe, and then connect. That's a pretty easy choice to make. Others might be a bit harder, like maybe picking your destination. Maybe you're just trying to get a sunny vacation. Does it matter if you fly 2,500 miles to Costa Rica or maybe half that far to Baja, Mexico?
In the end, you know, will a small number of passengers making different choices about how they fly, can it really make a difference?
If it's a small number, I think the answer is not much of a difference. But we see aviation growing so rapidly that I don't see, and I've done a lot of reporting on this, I don't see any solutions out there that could reduce aviation's impact without somehow reducing demand for flying as well. You know, air travel is amazing. I think of it as a paradox. It's a really high-tech industry, but it's really dirty. It's just really energy intensive. And something that connects the world and helps us understand other cultures, but it also harms that world. So how can we kind of break this paradox and separate the benefits of air travel from the really severe downsides? Technology isn't going to do it anytime soon. And maybe for now, individual choices might make a difference in helping start to point us in the right direction.